Today I want to continue what we started on Sunday. We titled it Take Up Your Cross, and it was called Doulos. And we said doulos is the word for servant. You see, there are just some times when the Lord has to bring your attention back to what you can call the rudiments of the faith. Are you with me? Because you see, you can be carried away, and we can be carried away as a generation with the splendid things going on in Christ, and sometimes you can forget. Are you with me? You can forget what the old saints call the rudiments or the basics or the foundations or the first principles. Are you with me? So, we can be carried away with the miraculous, the impartation. You know, we have been having camp meetings, 4 camp meetings, back to back, full of glory, full of testimonies, healings. But you see, the power of God, the glory of God is not all there is to our walk with God. You know, there is a major difference between Christianity and Babalawo. You know, if you come to church only to receive things from God, and that's the summation of your Christian experience, you are not too far away from the person who goes to the Babalawo. Have you ever seen or heard a Babalawo or a native doctor ask a person, how is your prayer life? When did you preach to somebody and win a soul? Those are strange questions in those quarters. Are you with me? But you see, God is different. God is not just transactional. He wants a relationship. Tell your neighbor, he wants a relationship. So, we are continuing what we talked about on Sunday. On Sunday, we said, doulos means servant, and God wants us to be willing servants. God wants us to be willing servants. And today, we'll take it a notch higher. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. See, we are living in a day of convenience. Christianity for many people is a convenient Christianity. The Christianity where it's all about what you can get, what you can gain. But if Jesus is not just our Savior, but our example, look at the way he served God. Jesus had a cross. Jesus had a cross to bear. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Some of them is the power of God. Now, let's open another scripture and I will come back to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. Please look at Matthew 16 verse 24. Matthew 16 verse 24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, Jesus is saying that if you are going to be a follower of him, you must have a cross. So I came here with one question. Oh, follower of Jesus, where is your cross? I came here with one question. Oh, follower of Jesus, where is your cross? A crossless Christianity is a Christless Christianity. Are you getting what I'm saying? Did you hear what I said? Yes, it's difficult to preach kind of message because it's tough. But you see, like we just saw, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There will be some self-denial if truly you are following God. Let me tell you, in your Christian experience, there will be a time where you will know that what is standing between you and your advancement in the kingdom of God is some level of sacrifice, is some level of denial. Are you getting me? If you don't have such an experience, it is not Christ you are following. If you don't have such an experience, it is not the God of the Bible. Do you remember one time when a man came and met Jesus and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, you know what you do? Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the Bible says, Jesus said it because Jesus knew the man had great riches. Of course, Jesus was not saying selling all you have is the key to receive eternal life, but Jesus was just trying to show how it would be difficult for those who are attached to worldly pleasures and worldly riches. Are you getting me? So God is not against you having riches, but God is against riches having you. Having you to the point where it is now a problem. You know, something happened recently. Anybody that knows me knows that I love suits. I don't just like suits. I love suits. Because I think that's one of the clothes that God gave the person that made the idea for me. And for me alone. Suits fits me forever. Are you with me? And there are some suits that I can literally begin to idolize. Because when I wear it, it's like I'm in cloud nine. So, do you know what happens? If I'm beginning to like a suit too much, I would choose to hate it because God will ask me to give it out. If I want that suit to stay long with me, I say, in the name of Jesus, you will not have my heart. And recently, something happened like that. One suit I love so much. I finished preaching somewhere and the Lord said, today is your last day on this suit. I said, no. And I said, okay, God, nobody, I was giving God excuse. He cannot size anybody now. Everybody around is. Then a certain man of God came to visit me. While he was visiting me, while he was with me, the Lord said, that suit is for him. I said, hey, this guy is bigger than me now. And I said, let me just prove to God that this guy cannot get it. I removed it, gave it to him. The suit was his size. The inner jacket was his size. The trouser was his size. Even the white shirt I brought was his size. I said, I said, you know what? Just take it and leave my room where I was lodging. I said, just go. You are blessed. He was like, Pastor, thank you. He was trying to hold me. I said, just go. Bye. Anything that stands between you and your commitment to God, you must lay it to the cross. There is a doctrine of sacrifice and self-denial in the followership of Christ. See, after me, there is a doctrine of sacrifice and self-denial in following Christ. Are you with me? So back to 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So anytime you see a person calling your sacrifice for God foolishness, it is a sign that he's not saved. See, it is a sign that he's part of the camp of those who are on their way to perishing. Hey, when you see people who find it very, I'm not saying throw away all place for planning and all of that. Are you with me? I'm not saying throw away your decorum and your wisdom and your planning. I'm not saying that. There is a place for planning, but there is a place of sacrifice and the cross. Paul called it the preaching of the cross. He says, it's to them that perish foolishness. When people look at your sacrifice and your devotion to God and call it foolishness, it's a sign that they're on their way to perishing. Are you getting what I'm saying? He's saying, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Meaning, do you want to enter the realms of power with God? Do you want to experience the power of God? Embrace the preaching of the cross. Do you want to get to the point where you can touch the glories of God's power? Embrace the place of sacrifice. Embrace the place of self-denial. Look at Abraham. Abraham may never have known that God can make a ram appear out of nothing, except he carried his son to the mountain. There are places in God, there are things in God you will not see. There are things people will be saying about God. For you, it will be a complete alien idea if you don't embrace what sacrifice is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say after me, a crossless Christianity is a Christless Christianity. We are living in a day where people don't want to make any sacrifice for the God they claim to love. Every morning I am tired, I cannot go to church. Every morning I want to sleep, I cannot go to church. But those same people, they don't have the audacity to tell their boss, I cannot come to work, I was tired. Now, are there times when you will be actually sick and you can't go to work? Of course, you can call in a sick leave. There can be a genuine reason. But sometimes some people is not genuine reason anything. Sometimes the reason why they are not available for the things of God is not because there is anything serious. It's just because they don't want to make the sacrifice. Are there times where you may have to be absent because of something pressing? Yes. Are you with me? Are there some times where you will not be available because of something pressing? Yes. But when it is not because of anything pressing, it's just because the person is unserious. God looks at him and says, this one, you are not ready. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Verse 23 to 24. He says, and he said unto them all, Am I too fast? Am I too fast? I apologize if I am. Luke 9, verse 23. Everybody read 1 to 3, go. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's what got my attention. So there is a daily cross to be carrying. Hey. You know, when Jesus carried the cross, he was authoring a new path. You know, the Bible calls him the author of our salvation. The author and the finisher of our faith. That means anything that Jesus started is a pathway for everyone who believes in him. See, if you are a genuine Christian, there must be a time in your life where you have to make a strong decision to either go with God or go with yourself. Jesus faced it. And if you are a truly genuine follower of Christ, you'll be having it periodically. You know, have you ever thought about that statement? The Bible says he called us, submit yourselves a living sacrifice. Sacrifices are not usually living. Sacrifices are dead, usually. For it to be a sacrifice, you're supposed to be dead. But now he's saying, you are alive, but even though you are living, you have to consistently be a sacrifice. Meaning there are some things that you have to put to death in order to be alive, but a sacrifice. Are you getting me? So, as a Christian, there is a cross. The Christianity of convenience is not the Christianity of Christ. So, quickly, there are three levels of crosses. I want to summarize the cross, or what I can call taking up your cross or your crosses. Number one, the cross of devotion. The cross of devotion. Now, how will I explain this to you? Let me use a story. Matthew 26 from verse 40. Jesus was about to be crucified and he called some guys to pray with him. You know, even Jesus needed prayer partners at difficult times. Tell your neighbor, dear brother, dear sister, you cannot do it alone. You need help. Call for help when you need. Call for a brother. Call for a sister to encourage you. Jesus at some point needed people to pray with him. He was going through a tough season. He was going to fulfill the purpose of God and it was tough and he called for these guys to pray with him. But guess what? The sleep was heavy. Have you seen sleep that when you are standing, it's like your eye wants to tear? Hey, Matthew 26 verse 40. And he prayed, they begged them, come and join me to pray. But guess what these guys were doing? They were sleeping. Somebody said they were creeping. Prayer and sleep mixed together. Matthew 26, from verse 40. He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Like, so don't rush it. He said, what? Like, why are you sleeping? What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Can't you try? Can't you carry this cross of watching with me for 1 hour? Obviously, he knew that they were tired. Are you getting me? It was not easy, but he expected them to still try. It's called the cross, meaning there is self-denial, sacrifice. Oh my God. If you truly walk with God there, you will now find that God sometimes, he knows that he's pressing you, but he wants you to still make a sacrifice. God knows that the person made you very angry until you forgive. Like, God, what's going on? Like, Lord, God, are you forgive him? See, if you don't forgive him, your heavenly father, you say, Baba, like, not like that. But you have to take the cross. Praise the Lord. Remember when Jesus went to see Martha? I'm not going to open it because of our time. Martha and Mary, they were all busy. Martha was busy running around everywhere looking for food for him and Mary was sitting down at his feet, listening to him. And Jesus said to Peter, to Martha, you are cumbered about so many things. One thing is needful. You are cumbered. You are cumbered. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful.
One thing is needful. One thing is, see, you have to take the cross of devotion and say, let me tell you something. The devil has this a very interesting pattern of making every other thing look important, but the most important thing. Are you getting me? I will pray by 9. No, I will pray by 10, 9:30. By 10, 10:30. Before you know, by 6:30 p.m., you've not prayed. Let me just send somebody this message on WhatsApp. You don't even know. Okay, see this thing. On IG. 30 minutes. Some people will never catch themselves. The ones that are serious will catch themselves. And you are just going. You have to, as your hand is scratching you to carry the phone, you have to take up the cross, put off that phone, or put it on flight mode, put it somewhere. Take up the cross of devotion. The Lord says, I should ask somebody, what is distracting you? What is distracting you? What is, some of us, we need to tell ourselves, what is distracting me? How come I cannot boast of praying 1 hour a day? I can't say I've been able to pray 1 hour a day. Some people during the morning devotion, the 30-minute step, even during the prayer, they are still scrolling Instagram. What is the problem? Tell your neighbor, take up the cross of devotion. You know, I was asking the Lord one day that I need secrets of spiritual devotion. He said, there is no secret, just pray. The secret is go and pray, go and read your Bible. There is no other secret. No secret. Just go and pray. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor the cross of devotion. Number two, the cross of sacrifice. The cross of sacrifice. Now, before I talk about this cross of sacrifice, let's go back to Luke 9, verse 23 to 24. The Bible says, and he said unto them, all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See verse 24. 1-3, go. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That means the idea of the cross, in the eyes of many people, look like you are the one losing. But if you actually weigh the benefits or the opportunity cost, you will discover that it's actually for your good. Jesus is saying that even though outwardly it looks like you are losing your life, but in the real sense of it, when you calculate the value, you're actually the one gaining. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let me give an example. And this is why there are going to be some arguments forever in the church. Arguments like, for instance, God wants us to give, right? For the spread of the gospel. But let me tell you what God does not want you to do. God does not want a person giving grudgingly. Are you getting me? Another person is even covetousness. Let me give you so that I will have plenty. To him, he's trying to bend God. But another person is just like, you know what, Lord, I love you. And I release what I have for you. Then after a while, God opens a door for him. A door of favor. And some other people are saying, I don't get it. One person gave and did not see anything. Another person gave and saw plenty. It is because amongst many other things, if you are giving for the sake of trying to manipulate God, you are already getting it wrong. First and foremost, remember what we talked on Sunday. You must be a willing servant. You must be a servant that you made up your mind by your will, saying, I love my master. Are you getting me? If you save your life, if you are trying to protect yourself from the pressure, from the cross, eventually you see you are the one losing. But if you release yourself, at the end of the journey, you will see that it was actually for your good, all true. At the end of the journey, you will see that you are the one that gains the most. At the end of the journey, you will discover that God does not have anything to collect from you. He has everything to give you. Hey, look at Abraham. Abraham thought he was the one going to try and sacrifice the son that God gave him, not knowing that God was looking for an opportunity. God was looking for an excuse to swear that I will bless Abraham. God was looking for an opportunity to swear that, okay, from now henceforth, because of what Abraham has done, I will be a God unto him and his generation will be Are you with me? We carry my blessing, carry my covenant. But God needed him to make up his mind to sacrifice first. In the end, did Abraham lose his son? No. Did he gain a blessing? Yes. Did God swear to bless him? Yes. So Jesus is the one telling you that, yes, it looks like a cross, but listen. Listen. If you lose your life, you will gain it. You will gain it. Tell your neighbor, carry your cross and gain your life. That's why with the song we're singing, I will cling to the old rugged cross and someday exchange it for a crown. There are some of us already, the blessings of the cross that we are carrying, we are already receiving the blessings here. And that's nothing compared to the crown we are going to receive in eternity. Shout glory!
Glory.
So the cross of sacrifice. Philippians 3 from verse 7. It says, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Do you see that? But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Look at this. So he's saying that there is a concept called winning Christ. So you can be born again, but you're not winning Christ. You can be winning in your finances, but are you winning in Christ? You can be winning with a better job, but when God places you on the scale of divine value, are you winning Christ? You can be winning with a better car, but are you winning Christ? And he's telling you the way to do it. I count the things that I've given, but dung. I suffer the loss of things. Meaning there will be a cross of sacrifice you will make. For some people, it will be money. For some people, it will be time. For some people, are you with me? For some people, it will be energy. For some people, it will be something else. It will be a pathway they wanted to take. And God will say, no, don't take that pathway. You know, Benin once talked about something. That there was a time he liked a girl so much. But the girl was not so like a spiritual person. And that was when he was just knowing the Holy Spirit. He said, and this girl was, according to him, Pastor Benin said, she was so beautiful. And he liked to spend time with her. When he goes for his programs and when he's done with all his preaching and all of that, he would just go and spend time and they would just watch a movie, take some popcorn, hang out with ice cream and all of that. And when he tries to tell her about the spiritual things that happened, Abu fell and they were healed, she would just be quiet. Like, I don't have time for all these things you are saying. I just want you. Leave this, you carry this, your God, and keep one corner. And Benin was like, he liked this girl. But he didn't want to talk to God about it because he feared that God would tell him. He feared that God would tell him no. So he said he would just keep enjoying her company until the day he can convert her. So one day, after a very powerful meeting, he was saying, Lord, I love you. You are everything to me. Nothing stands between me and you. God now asked him, what about this girl? He was like, God, don't go there, please. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go. God said, if you don't let this girl go, there are places in me you will not be able to go. He said, for day. Then it was then he now knew how much this girl had taken over his heart. He said he was thinking. At a point, he just told himself, you know what? I'm going to let this one go, that I will win Christ. You know, some people will still stay and hold on to that thing, and that's how they will lose relevance in the will of God. God now has to move on and be waiting for them. Are you guys what I'm saying? You need to ask yourself sometimes, what have I lost because of Christ? What have you lost because of Christ? What have you lost because you want to follow Jesus? Where are your scars? Paul says, let no man trouble me, for I bear my body the max. When we check your Christian experience, where are your scars for Jesus? The cross of sacrifice.
And finally, the cross of serving the will of God. The cross of serving the will of God. Thank you, Father. You know, this story about taking up your cross actually began when Peter was trying to convince Jesus not to die. Because in Matthew 16, Peter was the one that God revealed to about who Jesus was. It says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and all that. And then, from then on, if you read Matthew 16, the Bible says, and then Jesus began to talk about how he would go to Jerusalem and die, and he would be tortured of the chief priests. He began to talk about it. Then Peter took Jesus and said, "Not so." Peter was telling Jesus, "No, this shall not be unto thee. You be far be thee from this. You will not go and die." Which die? And guess what Jesus said unto him? "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou serverest not the things that be of God. You are an offense to me." Do you know what that means? Too much to say. He says, "For thou serverest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Meaning, sometimes men may be clapping for you, but you are failing God. Sometimes, when you are obeying the will of God, you will attract the criticism of men. I'm beginning to learn that a man that will please God cannot be too conscious of what men think. You know, before I went to pray for someone today. And before me, if I'm going to pray for a person, I want to tell all the other people there, please stop, don't make noise, give us space, be quiet. We want to pray for someone. I discovered that as I wanted to do that, I felt the Holy Ghost tell me, don't try to stop them. Let them play their music, make their noise, you be praying. Then I knew that, the Lord has taught me something. If you're always waiting for men to clap for you, you will not do the will of God. Those that serve what be of men and not of God. Then Jesus says, after that, then said Jesus unto the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." So the context of taking up your cross was actually in line with the idea that I want to go to Jerusalem and die and do the will of God. Are you following me? So the context of taking up your cross and follow me was in response to the fact that Peter wanted to stop Jesus from doing the will of God in going to Jerusalem and going to die. Are you with me? That means there is a cross of doing the will of God. Everybody is going left, but God says go right. Everybody is doing it like this, but God says do something else. Will you do the will of God? And why some people are even waiting for some specific general will, specific will in terms of, okay, travel to Jericho or go to Abia State and be a missionary. Why people are waiting for some deep thing? Simple things like what is written in the Bible. Are you getting me? Simple things like that. You know, I will end here. I've asked myself, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, I and pastor friends, ministry friends, we're talking and somebody said something like, find a church that is young and join the church so that you'll be a stakeholder. So they were trying to say like, if Pastor David, like the way I am now, if I joined a church that was young many years ago, I don't want to call any name, just follow me. So they were trying to suggest that if I joined a church that was young some years ago, I would have grown there, been a stakeholder, then I'll be driving jeeps, I'll have some trappings and one or two things that I would have been in a prominent name and all that kind of thing. The question is not trying to be in a big ministry or trying to have some prominence because of being a stakeholder by joining them early. The question is that the will of God? Are you with me? Is that what God wants me to do? Because you can be there. Everybody's clapping for you and saying you are doing well. But God says, you are not. God may be angry. Sometimes I will do the will of God. I will do the will of God. Even as a pastor, do you know how much? I don't know if this is the best place to say this. Maybe it is not the best place, but let me try. Somebody asked me that when you move to Abuja, I thought you are going to move to Lagos. And I said, why did you think so? He said, people know you in Lagos. So he said, Pastor David, if you say you are moving to Lagos, I know somebody that will give you a place, a house. Yeah, I know somebody. He was just talking how that there are more people who know you, who have financial weight and give me those names now. Timber and Caliber. Hey. They have the financial Timber and Caliber to give you the kind of comfort you want in Lagos.
But the question is that where God said I should go and base the headquarters of the ministry? Are you getting me? Is that what God said? Is that what God said? The will of God. As basic as these things, people are doing a lot of strategy. They are doing a lot of playing cards when you're supposed to be asking God. Jump on your feet.